Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. Or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. Hope you all are having a wonderful day. The weather is great out here in Chicago. No rain today. Yay. It seems it's rain or sun. But I guess that's what summer is, right? Well, let's get on to our show. Today we have with us lead singer Ethan Isaac of the indie alternative rock band Edison. I'm very pleased to have him with me today. Welcome, Ethan.
Hey, Pam. How are you? Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome, and thanks for taking the time to join me. I know you guys have a really busy schedule. You're always on the run somewhere.
We have been, yeah. We're fortunately, right now, we have a little bit of a break, but we've just been doing a lot of press ramping up for the release of our new record, Collision.
Most definitely, and I'm looking forward to speaking about that a little bit later and playing some of your music as well. I'd like to go back a little bit and find out about you first. Like, when did you decide you wanted to be in the music business? Were you always a singer, and did you sing around the house? What did you do?
I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, actually, not too far from Chicago. And And I grew up in Madison was a very musical town, and playing bands in high school. And at one point, I was out in New York City, and my biological father introduced me to Bruce Springsteen. So that was really kind of a changing moment in my life when I met Bruce. I was in sixth grade. At that point in time, I wanted to be just like him. So,
right.
You know, so I was one of those kind of things. He was in a show. His music was featured in a show that was a play written by Lamford Wilson, which was called Balm and Gilead. And my dad was one of the producers on the show. And so I got to spend a summer in New York, and Bruce had came to the play that one night, and that's where I met him. And I'd been listening to his music. It was his Born to Run record that was the soundtrack for that particular play. So after I'd met him, it's a pretty serious thing meeting a guy like that at that age, you know. So.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Did you understand that, though? I mean, in sixth grade, you're what, 12 or somewhere in through there? Did you understand
how
important
that
was?
Yeah, I mean, I did. I grew up with my parents listening to Bruce Springsteen, my mom and my dad back in Wisconsin, and my real father was a playwright out in New York City. My family back in Wisconsin, my dad used to listen to a lot of Bruce Springsteen, so that it was a pretty awesome experience and a pretty big deal knowing who he was back then. That's when, you know, it was after the Born in the USA record had come out, and he was already on top of the world, so it was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, definitely. How lucky. That would be something that's probably going to be in your brain forever and ever. You know, it's a great story to be able to tell. So from that point on, did you start taking singing lessons, or do you just have a voice?
It was a few years after that when I actually got into high school where I started studying vocals with a vocal teacher named Carol Dwyer. She was a classical opera singer, and she trained me to sing the right way, and then I just was in a bunch of kind of hardcore high school bands, and even got to do a recording with Butch Vig at Smart Studios, winning a battle of the bands when I was in high school, and that really, you know, kind of put a good foundation for a career for me to really explore music.
And I would imagine that also said to you, you know, with winning Battle of the Bands and recording in that you were on the right path at that point.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, you know, I was surrounded by a lot of great people and already had, you know, some industry experience a little bit at that point. So I was like, you know what, this is something I'm going to give a shot at. And ended up moving out to New York City and with a band that I had started in Madison, Wisconsin, and hit the scene in New York City, and then eventually that led me to Edison, which has been a band since 2005.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, what type of music did you listen to as you were growing up, other than Bruce Springsteen? And has that changed in any way, like now that you listen to other people?
Oh yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to bands like REM and The Cure and U2 and obviously like Springsteen and some of the great acts at that point, and then growing into Radiohead and Incubus and some of the great acts out today, like everybody from the Black Crowes to some of the newer stuff that's coming out, the Lumineers and the Civil Wars, and I've gone a lot of different directions,
Yeah, all great bands, though, by the way. I like them all. I love all music, but something about rock music is just, tops in my book. And I guess I would have to say my favorite all-time band that I listened to growing up was Journey. And when Steve Perry left, I thought, oh my God, it was the end of the world.
Yeah. That's pretty much the end of the band if he leaves. So, yeah, I know
But
there's time for him.
they've
They're not
continued
making the
on,
music,
so.
Steve,
Right. So,
Now
how did the band come together?
band
Did
is.
you know any of these guys before you became a band?
No, I actually there was so I had management through a previous band that I was working with, Claude Villani and Arma Anden, both guys that have been in the music business, as Claude as a songwriter and Arma as he's managed some great bands, Godsmack and Extreme and Sinead O'Connor. Anyway, they had introduced me to this guitar player, Jonathan, who was playing in a band called Splendor, and I was in a band called Wooden at the time. And both of our bands had kind of come to the end of their lives, and we were looking to start a new project, and these guys put us together. And we put a quick EP out, and the next thing you know, we were on the road doing some shows and touring and doing a lot of we did a lot of shows early on for the troops, and still are playing for the US service men and women all over the world.
Yeah, I find that truly amazing that your first tour you guys did was in a war zone. I mean, I can't even imagine that. Tell us more about it. What was it like for you, and how did that come about exactly?
That we had been asked to go do it. My previous band, Wooden, had been asked to go do a tour in the northern part of Europe. And at that point, I had already started Edison. And after I finished that tour, I was contacted again to do another tour. And Edison was the perfect band for going downrange, and good hard rock music. The troops love that kind of stuff. So it was a really special time at a really difficult time at the same time. It was just like we were a loss for words when we got there. It was like it meant so much to the soldiers, what we were doing and going there, and it vice versa to us. It really changed all of our lives, because here we were bringing something positive to such a difficult time
Right.
in history for us here in America.
Well, I have to say thank you from my heart for performing for our military. I have a son that was in the Marines for 4 years. He's been out a couple years now, and a few family members too that have been in different types of military. Now, did it make it harder for you guys to move around while performing with having to wear helmets and body armor and stuff like that?
I don't know if it was harder, but it was definitely a lot more scary and not something that we're
Yeah.
used to, wearing body armor while touring on a rock and roll tour there. So, but yeah, it was definitely at first very nerve-wracking. It was kind of like, what do we sign ourselves up for? But once we got into Iraq and we did this really amazing, crazy combat landing into Telfar, the most northern part of Iraq. And we got out, we were like, what the heck, man? This is like, what did we sign up for? A day later, and the show later, we were so excited to be a part of what was happening there that, we always felt safe with the troops, man. They always had a huge team around us and made it very exciting for us to be there and very positive.
That's good. That's good. I mean, because like you said, you helped each other, and I know how much they appreciate that. Like I said, with my son being in there and other family members, also a friend of mine, she's been in there, gosh, 20 years. And she tells me about these types of stories where the bands will come, and it's such a nice, it brings them back to their real lives. You know what I mean? It brings them
right
back to wherever they're from and how they grew up and the music that they loved and things like that, and thinking about their families. Of course, I'm sure it makes them miss them more, but, you know, it helps bring them back and take them out of that war part of their lives.
Yeah, lets them go somewhere else for a minute, because it's,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're, you know, the whole idea of us going out there is, you know, to entertain the soldiers that are away from their families. So the Armed Forces has a whole division that brings entertainment all over the world for that specific purpose, and they're called the Armed Forces Entertainment, and they're the ones that have given us this opportunity to, you know, go out and spread this positivity. And it makes a big difference when you're out there for 9-12 months at a shot and you don't get to see your family.
Mm-hmm.
Especially during that time, it was very hard to even contact your family. It wasn't like you had a local cell tower in the middle of a war
zone.
So
yeah,
it was very removed. And some of the bases we were playing had, you know, 3,000-4,000 people. Other bases had 100-200 people. So the shows were, you know, it was great, you know, just to be able to reach everybody. You know, it wasn't just,
mm-hmm,
you know, just going out there and playing the real big bases. We were out there, you know, to supply, you know, and provide entertainment for everybody, all the soldiers.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's so awesome. Now, you guys got a lot of coverage from doing these tours, with being interviewed by Charles Gibson on ABC Nightly News, featured in Rolling Stone magazine, in the Wall Street Journal. And you guys weren't, let's put it, I don't know how to put it, not even a recognized band at that point. You know what I mean? You weren't a name band.
We had
what
nothing
went
out.
Through
no,
your
we
head
were
with all of that happening?
Yeah, I mean, we were a brand new band, really. I mean, that was the first time we were playing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually years before we actually properly got to record the songs and put a major record out, because we spent between 2005 and 2010, we did almost 20 countries at that point, touring for
right
for the troops. So, you know, we just kept doing that. We were having, you know, a great time doing it, and it was such a positive experience. And we finally gotten to a point where we actually were able to really track this stuff. And so a lot of the stuff you heard on that first release of Edison really was stuff that was developed, you know, during those experiences playing, you know, with the Armed Forces.
Right. Well, I want to say, while we're on this topic, I have to tell you that I absolutely love the video of your song Fly with the footage from the tours. It made me smile, and yet at the same time I wanted to cry. I mean, because it was just so beautiful what you were doing, and that you put it together on video like that. Not only just for yourselves, but for the guys that were out there and people that weren't out there that can see that, even their families.
Right.
Would you tell our listeners a little bit more about it?
Well, I mean, you know, that video was, we were really one of the first rock and roll bands to kind of, you know, to film a video in Iraq. And the video that for our song Fly really kind of depicts the day in and day out of what we went through, you know, how we traveled. It shows us in the helicopters. It shows us interacting with the
mm-hmm
soldiers. And so, you know, it was a very special video for us. And one thing I will say is that, you know, after going to all these, you know, these countries out there, you really feel blessed to come home to what we have and, you know, what those guys are doing out there, you know, is just amazing. You know, we're all very lucky, because there's the way other people are living in this world isn't even close to what we get to experience here in America.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. A lot of Americans don't realize that, you know, unfortunately they want more, more, more. And if they even saw for, you know, one day, if they could go to another country and see how they live, they wouldn't complain again. That's for sure.
Yeah,
now,
and a lot of the soldiers
go ahead
out there, one thing I'll also say is, you know, when people think about war, they think of, you know, violence a lot. But really, you know, a part of the strategy, you know, for the American military, for instance, when we went to Africa, is they're just helping whole areas of Africa, lending support, food. They're dropping, you know, food from helicopters and landing on dirt strips to deliver supplies to small communities out there that are in rough shape, you know. So it's more than what, you know, there's a lot more positivity that's going on than some people can really imagine.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Now, you were talking about just getting back from a tour, and I saw part of it on Periscope where you guys were on the plane. Did you perform in both Singapore and Japan, or just one of them?
We performed, and the mission of this last tour was to go out to play a 4th of July show on this remote military base in Diego Garcia. We had a layover in Singapore, so after we finished the tour, we actually did. We met with the Universal Records, who's distributing our current record, and we did a small showcase for them and just did some business while we were over there in Singapore. But, yeah, we didn't get to play in Japan. We just sat in the airport and had a lot to drink in Tokyo on our way back to New York City. So it was really just a layover there. But Diego Garcia was the main reason we went out on tour, and that was, wow, is that an amazing spot. It's an island that's in the middle of the Indian Ocean. There's nothing near it. It's just deep blue water everywhere on this really exotic island that's very protected. And we have a small military operation out of there, just about 300-400 active military soldiers that don't really get to see their family there. So we went and had fun and played a 4th of July show for them.
Oh, that's so awesome. I mean, how many people, you know, don't even know that that place exists? And here you guys went over there. That's so awesome. I love that. I love hearing these stories of the things that you guys have done. Out of all the countries you've been to, which one would you say has been your favorite as far as if you got to see, you know, do any sightseeing in that?
I'd say there's a couple, but we went to Australia with the a comedian, Chris Newberg, who was really funny, and the Arizona Cardinal cheerleaders. We went as a package, and we flew into Sydney. I had never been to Australia. Sydney, Australia was awesome, and then we went to Alice Springs to perform for the troops, and I don't know if you know where Alice Springs is, but it's the dead center of Australia, and there was all sorts of Aborigines, natives there, and just being able to see that area of the world was really fascinating. So that's definitely on the top of my list right there.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I've always wanted to go to Australia, but I'm not a good flyer, and I know that it takes forever to get there. So with that said, with you guys flying all over the place for how long now, are any of you still, or I should say, are you guys good flyers, or are some of you bad flyers?
Everybody's pretty good. I mean, you know, those little mini bottles of alcohol.
We go
through a lot of those on these long flights. So I think that's what keeps everybody good. I think I counted like 13 on one flight from Joel. So he drank. And he was still standing like nothing happened. I was like, man.
Yeah.
That's sometimes how we get. But now we're all pretty, I don't know, you know, after like you're on your 11th or 12th hour on a plane, it does get like, what the heck, I'm ready to get off.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like that after 15 minutes. So bad.
<Yeah.
laughs> But I still do it because, unfortunately, that's the best way and the fastest way to get around, you know, when you have to go somewhere like that. But what's it like for you to perform in countries where the first language is not English?
Well, depending on who we're with, usually they're, you know, like we just did a tour in China not too long ago and we had a translator, but it was hard because the food in China is really strange and I didn't know what I was eating half the time. And when I did find out what I was, I wasn't really happy with it. So it can be very difficult. It just makes me want to learn every language so I can order the appropriate for myself.
That was going to be my next question. Who of the band are the most adventurous when it comes to trying out new food in all the different countries? But I guess you
Oh, that
pretty
would be
much all
Joel.
do that. Oh,
Beans,
is it?
sticky
Okay.
tofu, live things flopping around on plates, whatever. He tried
Oh.
to duck head, duck brain, eyes
Oh
of
my
fish.
gosh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he's still around, so it must have been okay, right?
Yeah, none of us got sick on that trip or anything like that, but we definitely ate pretty odd food. And I tried to learn the I did take the language in high school, the Chinese language, but I know so little. It's such a hard language to go and really speak, that I could say a few
Right.
basic things about it,
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, you're going to have to brush up on that if you're going to be going over there
Yeah.
again, which I'm sure you will eventually. Wow. Not me. I would be so, I'm real picky with my food, so I know I wouldn't be good to try out new foods like that. And no, if I didn't recognize a picture of it, I wouldn't be eating it. So good, kudos to you guys.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your new album that you have coming out, Collision, and also the single you released called Kill Me With Your Kiss.
Yeah.
Tell us more about it.
That record's coming out, first of all, July 31st, and Kill Me With Your Kiss, it was a pretty exciting release for us because Ron Saint Germain mixed it, and I know he's one of my heroes in the music production world. He's produced some of the best and mixed some of the best records. He did the Tool record, Soundgarden, 311, Muse, all these awesome bands. So to be able to work with him and actually go in the studio with him and watch him mix, that was great. And the rest of the record, we had a lot of good collaborators on there. Charlie Drayton came in and produced three songs. The rest of the record we did with the producer that produced the first record, Claude Villani, who's been working with the band since the band started. And so we had just a really positive group of people around us making this record. So we're really excited to get it out. It's been a while since we released anything, so we're just excited to get some new music out in the world and get supporting it and playing it and getting to the people.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And your fans are super excited too. I love that song, but then again, I love all of your music. Which song would you say is your favorite to perform live, or which song is closest to your heart?
Depending on the kind of show, there's some of the songs that I really like doing acoustically. And, as far as the rock stuff goes, I always like Wide Awake because it's the second single of the band, and it really kind of depicted us being on the road and just going from one show to the next. And so I always love playing that song. And Ready to Believe, good positive message, is another song I love rocking out with. And Medicaid's a good hard rock song, so ending the set with that is always fun. And then taking all these songs and reinterpreting them in an acoustic form is probably one of my more favorite things to do. Sometimes more enjoyable than the big rock shows, getting into in front of an intimate audience,
Right.
So.
Now, who would you say is the perfectionist in the band?
The perfectionist. On this last record, I would say that would have been me.
Yeah.
The past, it's kind of changed. From Jonathan, who the original guitar player, who still writes with the band, he was a real perfectionist too. But on this last record, that would have been me. And at one point, they just had to pull it away from me and mix it, and that was it. That's really what ended up happening. I kept going on stuff, so.
Did they
And
lock you in a room somewhere and say, "That's it, he's not coming out until we release
it's kind of like grabbing the brush out of the painter's hand, Like, enough, you've painted it enough times. It's like eight coats of paint on it. So. That's the problem. Well, we have our own studio, which is the Factory Underground Studios in Connecticut. It's like a really cool underground spot that, you know, is a hub for a lot of talent in the area. And it's our studio down here. And having our own studio, we have all that extra time, you know, and a place to work kind of on your own speed. And that's a blessing and a curse. I'm thinking the next one, I'm going to go somewhere and get it done. So it just gets done a lot faster.
Yeah. That's too funny. Now, if you could play with anyone alive or dead, who would it be?
Alive or dead? John Lennon.
Oh, dead. Good one.
And alive at this moment right now, I would love to play a show with the Foo Fighters. I'd love to be able to open up for a band. I think Dave Grohl has done so much great things for rock and roll, and he's one of the last soldiers standing out there right now, really, you know, out there supporting rock and roll. Because, you know, rock and roll is not what it used to be, and it's really not that around anymore. You just don't see a lot of great rock acts coming out. That sound has just kind of disappeared. You know, there's other great music. It's been really neat to kind of see that more folk element come into rock and roll, you know, with the Mumford and Sons and the Lumineers and bands like that, Fleet Foxes and all these great acts. That to me is kind of where the rock market has gone. That has a lot of integrity, but as far as that, you know, that great classic rock sound that has been around for years, it just, you know, Dave Grohl's still writing those timeless pieces and out there touring, and the Black Keys are another great band doing that, but, you know, you can't say there's a lot of them anymore, at least not, you know, not around here in the United States anyway. Hello?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, all of a sudden I got disconnected. I'm so sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I had to call back in right away. You didn't even miss me, huh?
No, I was just still talking.
Well, at least the audience was entertained.
Right.
But... Go ahead.
I said I'm used to talking to myself anyway, so.
Oh, are you? Me too. What you were saying about that true rock sound not being around anymore, I have to agree with that. I do miss it, and I guess that's why I still listen to the music that I listened to growing up. And I think a lot of it has to do with they're more crossover now, so that way you can make fans from different genres.
Yeah. Oh, and people aren't listening to music the same way. I mean,
mm-hmm.
like growing up, you know, people used to listen to albums. You'd buy an album, you'd listen to it. Now, you know, with all the streaming going on, it's really fragmented. I mean, it's cool because I've discovered a lot of great music. There's ups and downs to the new
right.
method of happening in the business, but you know, the day of buying a record and just living and listening to that artist, those are, you know, not so much anymore.
Right,
so.
That's so true. And I still have a ton of albums from when I grew up. I don't know why I don't get rid of them, but I just have them. I don't have a record player, so you know, they're just sitting doing nothing. But I've noticed lately that in some stores I've seen them selling record players these days, and I wonder if those would work with our old, you know, LPs that we had.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I need to
yeah,
check
they haven't
that
changed,
out.
They haven't changed that. It's just back in style. It's like Neil Young said at one point, he's like, I've been in and out of style about 5 different times. He's like, I just keep going, and then all of a sudden, everybody's listening to me. And then
right.
a couple of years, there's nobody listening to me. And then all of a sudden, I'm cool again. And that's the thing about music, you know. Cassettes
mm-hmm.
will come back. Everybody will start listening to cassettes. It'll be that niche of people and the records, you know, DJs.
Right.
And I think they kind of bring that whole movement of the record back, which is a really positive thing.
Definitely.
All of a sudden, music is special to people. They're going out and buying this other physical form to listen to music, and they're hearing it a different way because it's actually moving, you know. It's not a digital file. Here's this thing, this disc that just spins around, and you're watching it, and it forces you to listen to the music in a different way, which is really the great thing about vinyl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's nothing like it. And as I've said in previous shows, I mean, we not only went out to buy the album because we loved a song or two or the band or whatever, but we also bought it to look at the album art and the inside cover and the backside and who the thank yous were to and stuff like that. And that was just the whole package that you bought.
Right on.
So, excuse me. Would you like to give a shout-out to your many fans and street teams all over the world? I have to say that when I tweeted out that you guys were coming on and saw the retweets, there was probably a good 10 or so street teams, I believe, from all over the world that retweeted that, and I was astonished. I mean, it was so wonderful to see.
It's why we're still playing music now. Having, you know, the great support of the armed forces and our fans and the people that have cared and followed Edison all over the world, you know. Yeah, shout out to you guys and thank you guys, because that's why we're playing music. And thank you, Pam, for having, you know, Edison and myself on the show here today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's definitely my pleasure. Just for our listeners, you can follow Edison on Twitter at EdisonNYC, and it's E-D-I-S-U-N. Their Facebook is facebook.com/EdisonMusic, and their website is edisonmusic.com. Out of curiosity, where did the name of the band come from?
So when we first started Edison, we spelled it with an O, and it was really a tip of the hat to Thomas Edison, the inventor. You know, he was one of the, you know, big pioneers in the invention of how you listen to music with the, you know, he basically kind of had the first record player, these like round disc, and we were in a studio. We still hadn't quite figured out the name. We were tossing around a lot of different names, and we saw this old record, that circular record, not circular, like flat, circular, like a tube. And it's something about Thomas Edison on there, and that's where we kind of got the name from. And then years later, when we put the record out on EMI, I had the idea of changing the S-O-N to an S-U-N, because trying to get above Thomas Edison on Google search was near impossible.
Oh my God.
And we'll never do that. So, and then I kind of like that, because it was an invention of the invention, so of the inventor of
right.
the invention word with the word sun in it. We're, you know, everybody in the band, you know, we love the outdoors and all that kind of stuff. So it really kind of, our music is organic and driven that way. So we're an organic band. So having Edison with the sun in the actual name was something we were really, you know, excited about when it came about, to change the name to that. So
I love
and
that.
Now you can,
I mean,
find
you're
us. All you
got to
do is type that in
guy.
And you see us.
Yes. You did good. Well, I'm going to play three songs for our listeners, but before that, I'll let you go. I'm going to play Kill Me With Your Kiss, Ready to Believe, and Fly. Go ahead and let them know when the album is out again and where they can purchase it from.
Our record is coming out July 31st. Obviously, iTunes, you can purchase it. You can stream it on Spotify, Apple Music. You can look us up on Apple Connect to get all sorts of special content that Apple is, you know, cultivating right now, their new platform. And and it'll be in select stores nationwide.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Ethan. It was a lot of fun speaking with you and learning more about you and the band. And I wish you guys all the best. You guys are, you know, going big time, and I have a feeling that I'm going to be seeing you on the stage with somebody else opening for you.
Right on, Pam. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you be safe when you guys are out of the country, and we'll talk again soon. So keep in touch, okay?
Excellent. Will do.
Thanks, Ethan. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye. And for our listeners, here is their brand new single, Kill Me With Your Kiss.
I'm better off leaving. get your umbrella. You lost yourself, and now it's time to cast the dizzy old past. Throw them away, refuse to fall and live to stay. Trade in your scars and all the lies we live. You can't.
Kiss is off of their new album, Collision, which is available July 31st, so be sure to pick that up. Next song is the song we spoke about, Fly. Check out that video on YouTube as well. It's wow. There's no words. It's just so awesome.
In a desert made of clouds, in a blinding light, I fly along this boulevard. So please don't shoot me down. Up here I wear the crown. Up here I have no fear. I rule these lonely skies with my head in the clouds. I'm gonna take you for a ride. Tonight
By Edison, and the last song I'm going to play by them is called Ready to Believe.
Yeah.
Ready to Believe by Edison, a true rock band, which I absolutely love, and I look forward to more from them. So again, be sure to pick up their new album, Collision, when it comes out on July 31st. You can pick up their other songs now, I'm sure, on iTunes and that. Their new single, Kill Me With Your Kiss. Thanks again to Ethan for joining me today. Thank you to Mark for setting up the interview. And also thank you for our listeners out there for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back again next Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with another hour of indie music from around the world. So I hope you will join me then. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.